Luck, buddy.
Y'all already know who it is.
Tell them who it is.
It's your boy. That boy shake the boom on Friday night.
That was Your Boys by Your Boys. This is your boy, Corey Teleba, and I am here with one half of Your Boys, Joe Ragosta from the hit group, Your Boys.
That's Joe. Five Your Boys so far. Pretty
yeah.
good.
Well, tallied up. What's going on, man?
Stuff in the staff sheet. You know already. I'm nothing, man. I'm very excited to talk about something. I have no idea what I'm talking about today.
Yeah, we are going to do a really fun exercise that I will break down and kind of explain why I think it's a fun and important thing to talk about. But this is the Home and Away podcast on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. And the purpose of this podcast feed is to bring on outside voices. I am the home. Joe is going to be the away today to kind of diversify the feed and, just give you an opportunity to listen to some people that you otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity to hear. So
I would have worn an alternate jersey if I knew it was the away, by the way.
Well, you're wearing dark, so you're at least wearing the right color scheme.
Pretty good.
So Joe and I have been friends for a very long time, and we used to tour together. We spent a ton of time on the road traveling the world. I used to do security for his band when I was in high school. It's a whole thing. Joe, just before we get started on the basketball stuff, tell right. the people what it is that you actually do professionally, out there in the world.
My name is Joe Ragosta, and I am in a group called Your Boys on Universal and Republic Records. You should listen to it. That seems like a really good idea. You should tell everyone to do that. And then also,
they listen to 20 seconds already.
Oh, we nailed it. I believe that's called platinum certification. You'll figure it out. And I write songs for other artists, and all that I really care about is professional basketball, which is why today is a very puzzling day for me, because this is my first basketball podcast, and I'm talking about anything but professional basketball.
So what's funny is, like I said, we have spent so much time together throughout our lives, touring on the road, and some of like my most vivid professional basketball memories happened when I was out on tour. Like we were in Cleveland, Ohio, when the Bulls were on top of the world, and Derrick Rose was coming off an MVP. The Bulls were looking great, and he tears his ACL, which basically derails the next like decade for the Bulls. But like,
you were inconsolable.
I was truly depressed. Like, they made a
commercial. I remember the show being like specifically fantastic, which at the time for us, because this is when that happened, which is a very long time ago, and our band was very, very small, and we had a huge day, and everyone was pumped, and you were just like,
I was very sad, and I even think I set the record at the venue on like the Papa Shot game earlier that day.
Think about it every time I play that game, the show you put on that day.
Everything was shaping up beautifully, and like, you know, Derrick Rose got hurt and the Bulls never recovered. But that's a story.
I remember getting off stage and you being like, Derrick Rose tore his ACL. I was like, I'm so sorry to hear about this. You're like, you don't get it. You walked away from
it. You didn't get it at the time. Now you would get it, because now So basically through the entire duration of our friendship, you didn't watch basketball.
What's amazing is we've been, I'd say top three best friends both ways. Like, you're one of my top three best friends. I think I might be in your top three.
Easily.
Oh God, it feels good.
You're definitely in my MySpace top eight.
That's fantastic. You're in there too, buddy. We had a clothing line together. Anyway, I've spent as much time in my life with you as I think I have with my wife. Like, that is how often I've been with you in my life. For major events in my life, like chapters of my life that are so huge to my existence, you've been next to me the entire time. And I just didn't care about basketball at all, because I'd given it up for music when I got addicted to music a long time ago. And then the pandemic happened, and I am obsessed. It's the only thing I think about and talk about all day long outside of my kids and my job is professional basketball. And you're like, do you want to be on this podcast tonight? I was like, of course I do. And you're like, about college basketball.
Which is basically an entirely different game. But it's, I wrote for the website, noceilingsnba.com, a thing. One of my first pieces that I wrote was called Draft Punk. And it was basically, you know, what I love about the draft is that it there are so many similarities to like the punk rock scene in that like these kids are basically playing in basement shows.
Oh, it's amazing to watch. And the last 3 hours I poured through this footage, like I love it now, it turns out.
Yeah, like it's literally just like people follow these kids from high school all the way to the pros, and like now with technology and like these games are broadcast, but like still I, you know, it's cool. I'll go see like kids in a big stadium, but like I'll also go see these kids in like a shitty high school gym that like you would play like a terrible show in. And like these kids are kids who are going to be superstar players one day, but like
that's what's amazing about it. It's like seeing Seinfeld before it happened. Like it's like the blueprint of the George Costanza character is happening right now, and his dad is broadcasting the game. Like his dad's like, pass down the saw, and it's like the crappiest microphone. I know this is happening now too, like it's the year 2022, but the footage and audio seems like it's from 1986.
You haven't even had the chance to look at some of the like international camera angles.
Dude, the one international dude, like obviously I spent very little time looking at the Victor stuff because I've seen most of the Victor stuff.
Yeah.
But it was like some of the stuff they were saying, like the one broadcaster was doing this accent. He's like, oh, I dunked the shit out of that one. I was like, what broadcast is this? He can say the shit word. Not a dunk. Like, just doesn't seem like a, you know, very good business model. I don't know.
Well, you remember that line clearly, so it's clearly a very great business model. But the camera angles are
insane. And I'll tell you something else. He did dunk the shit out of that one. And the camera angles are like they gave their kids, who are toddlers, cameras, and were like, can you capture this for us? Can you
cover this? Just film this. And it's like, the quality is somehow worse than like the iPhone 4.
Like I don't know how it's possible. Like the things you have to do to make it look like that, like you have to know what you're doing in Final Cut to make it look that bad.
Now I will say, like, we have toured out of the country together, and like, you know, their Wi-Fi hasn't caught up to us. So.
It is shot, bud. Like that's they look like they're broadcasting live from Manchester in a basement. Like it's bad. The Wi-Fi. But, I don't know how they haven't figured out Wi-Fi in these other places.
Maybe they haven't. Maybe they're still on
dial-up. Did we cover the part where we talk shit on other countries' Wi-Fi yet? Okay, good. We got that a little early. That's nice.
I had that in my notes at about the 10-minute mark, so we're a little bit early there. But you know, what I love about the draft is it resembles so much of like punk rock and how we grew up, because it's literally like you get to be like, I listened to that band before they were cool.
I've already caught that, and I like it.
Yeah, so I think that's what is very contagious about this draft that's like scene, because you know you get a little taste of it, and then you turn into what they call a draft sicko. And there you are. We lost you for a second. Yeah, it's just it's a really cool thing because you're literally watching these players grow up
children into men. Some of the footage, it's like I'm trying to think of who it was. I think it was Kazen Wallace. Where it was like footage from 8 months ago and he looks like a toddler. And then footage from this week and he's a monster. It's crazy. Like these are the most accelerated years of people's, you know, people's like 17 through 21, like when you become who you are physically and, you know, mentally. But the other way it's like punk rock music, I can tell you this. I was in a punk rock band for a very, very long time. And we used to make these hype reel videos that you shot. Like, you made these videos.
Yes.
You yourself. You perfected camera angles where you made it look like there were 15,000 people in a place where there weren't 15 people. Like, you make it look really good. These videos, when you're like, watch this and let me know what you think of this person as a player. It is not possible to let you know what I think of this person as a player. Because I imagine unless you're able to get the footage from an entire game, which sure exists, but this is a very rushed exercise. All you see is this is the next Michael Jordan. Like everything is highlight, block, steal, dunk. Like it's incredible because it's just like the punk rock scene. You can make yourself look amazing.
It truly is. And that's the crux of this exercise. And for the people listening at home, watching at home, what I had Joe do, Joe has already said he doesn't watch college basketball. Like he's never been into the draft. He's just gotten into NBA basketball. So I gave him the top 14 players ranked in the preseason based off of the DraftDAQ IPO stock rankings. So you will notably realized that Brandon Miller was not listed because he was 15. I gave Joe 14 names. I told him to watch highlight videos. I told him to watch highlight videos from YouTube and give me a top 10 list. Now, the reason that I think that this is a fun exercise to do and worthwhile to do on this podcast is because, one, this is a thing that happens. Like, if you're really into the draft, if you're listening to this right now, you care about these players and scouting them in depth. And you know that that's what we do on this podcast feed at No Ceilings NBA, on our socials, like all of that. But you're going to come a time, it's going to be in a few months, it's going to be May, maybe June, your friend's favorite team is going to be eliminated from the playoffs or not make the playoffs, and they're going to shift towards the draft. And there's just not enough time to sit and watch full games for these people of a million prospects. So what they're going to do is they're going to go to YouTube and they're going to formulate their entire opinions.
It's criminal.
Based on the videos that are on YouTube, some people might go a little bit more in depth and they'll watch like scouting videos like I make on my YouTube channel and that we make on No Ceilings. But for the most part, I think the majority of people are going to just watch highlight reels. Now, we did this on the Draft Act feed last season with our good friend Larry, and his board actually pretty accurate. So
kid's got an eye.
There's also something to watching these highlight videos and not overthinking every little detail about a prospect. There's right. a middle ground where you're not just breaking down and just nitpicking every single thing, but also being in depth enough. So
I want to say something else. You didn't send me the videos, so I was in charge of finding my own videos.
Right.
Some of these things are insane. Here is my advice. Well, one, next time you do this, I'm gathering, and if you didn't, don't tell me because it'd be way funnier. I'm gathering you actually sent me the top 14. If you sent me one who's like 80, I wouldn't know because, again, all these highlight videos are exactly the same. My advice to any kid who's watching this who plays basketball, who has even a little bit of talent, hire a videographer and just be like, yo, make me look like Shaq. And I guarantee you will get drafted because this is what people are making decisions off of. And it's literally only the best of the best. And I can't explain enough how much that extra $50 a week to hiring a videographer for yourself will get you in millions.
Well,
this draft.
Well, look, I don't know if you're going to be able to get drafted based off hiring a videographer for most of the average.
Seems like you can get on the board. Like, seems like you can get in the game in the top 100.
No, this is a real thing that, like, it's really like D3 level kids, like kids who are like just good enough to probably play D3.
I might make a highlight reel for myself.
Yeah, you can look. LA Fitness has great lighting.
And that weird guy on the wall who's always sweating a little weird.
Ah, with like the side middle part.
This guy with the 90s middle part.
Yeah, he's just like 3-point stance. His fundamentals are on point.
Yeah.
So here's one of the reasons I think that you are going to be good at this exercise that I gave you. It's because you bring a level of self-awareness that I think most people wouldn't. Because when you started getting into basketball, you compared yourself to a certain player that is in the National Basketball Association. Most people, when they compare themselves to NBA players, they'll be like, I'm like Steph Curry because I'm a really good shooter. I'm a sick passer. So I'm like Trae Young. You compared yourself to a very specific NBA player. So let the world know who your NBA comp is.
He got some floor time last night, might I add. All right. I am an Antetokounmpo, easily. No questions asked.
No doubt.
I am literally Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Like, and it's not, I'm not a little bit anybody else either. It's not like, oh, I could be this. I could be Draymond because, like, you know, I got a lot of heart, or I could be, you know, Giannis, because I never give up. I am Thanasis Antetokounmpo. I have one speed. It is turbo. And I have no actual talent. Like, just, I go this way at all costs. And if something's in my way, that's fine. I'll take care of it.
Your talent is entertainment.
He cheers. Here's what I think. Here's a hot take. I think Thanasis might be better at cheering than Giannis is at playing basketball.
I don't think that's controversial.
All right, good, because it shouldn't be. This is something that people should know about. It's something that we should be talking about on a regular basis. I'd love to hear Stephen A. give a talk on this, because I don't know if he has it as clear as I do.
No, he doesn't. Thanasis, you nailed it spot on, and that's why I think you're going to be great at this. All right, so we're going to get started. We're going to count backwards from 10 down to 1. I gave you a list of 14. Brandon Miller wasn't on it. He has, since the season started, really skyrocketed up everyone's boards. He otherwise would be on it. So he is notably.
Okay, how about this? He's my 8th pick.
Great.
I can tell you what his highlights are like. They're very good.
They truly, truly are excellent.
How about this? How about we give him 10? Because apparently he's fantastic, but I didn't get a chance to see him.
You didn't get a chance to see him.
And there are a couple who I'm going to take off this list.
Who did you eliminate?
It's unfair, because I will say these people are 18 and 19 years old. If I was this good at anything when I was that age, I would never stop talking about it my entire life. I'm still not that good at anything. It's not even close. At this age, I didn't have a bank account. It's unfair. Like, this is amazing how good these kids are at this game. So to exclude someone from this list feels rude, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to power through. I'm going to Khalil Ware. He's great. He reminds me of DeAndre Ayton, and that's fine.
You didn't like his basketball court.
It's fine. He's great. He's gonna be a great player. He's great on the glass. He isn't scared of anything. He can actually shoot. He's a big time dunker. He's 7 feet tall, and he is my 14th pick.
That's almost exactly where he's ranked.
Really?
Yeah.
One for one, baby! I think that I'm going to take Keontae George off of my top 10.
Okay. All right.
Where is he normally?
Well, he's probably typically ranked around 8 or so.
I feel good about it.
He's probably been up and down, showed some pretty good flashes. Personally, for me, he's like 4 or 5 right now, but
you're usually not wrong about this stuff. I've checked the math.
Well, you know, sometimes we'll see. But right. I like Keontae George a lot, but you know, not the flashiest highlight reel.
Okay, see, this is what I'm saying. Hire a videographer, maybe some sound effects. You know,
you're gonna want a good song on there.
There are so many great players, though. I don't understand what I'm looking at. So I'm going to say Derek Lively. That sounds like I made a bad choice here.
You didn't. You really didn't. He has probably performed the worst out of everyone on this list. He was the number one recruit in the country. He's at Duke. Now he is coming back from an injury, but he's kind of struggled a little bit.
I don't sound like an idiot.
Right. He's like a guy who's like, hey, maybe like we'll keep him in like the top 20 right now. But
he's written down consistent.
Well,
according to his highlight reel.
His highlight reel, that's the thing. His high school highlight reel, pretty impressive.
It seems like he has great instincts and he's fast.
He is very fast in a straight line. I think he's going to be fine. I don't think this Duke team is conducive to what his strengths are, but he's a big man, and big men aren't that popular in the draft anymore unless, you know, you're an alien.
Okay, fine. Big men aren't that popular in the draft unless you are the number one pick.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I think that I really liked him, his style, and I liked his speed. And I liked his that he's not tentative, and he's incredibly persistent. He's patient. Again, great hair. I don't know why, but I'm leaving Anthony Black out of this top 10.
So Anthony Black he started. We're only like 6 or 7 games into the college basketball season. He started out very.
It's one of the reasons I can't find any footage of these kids. Just so we're clear, all the stuff's from like before the summer.
Yeah, he started out very slow. And then they do this tournament in Hawaii every year, and he was like the standout guy. Like he was
saw a lot of the Maui stuff.
Yeah, he was in his element there. He killed it. But people still have questions about him. They, you know, they want to know if he's fast enough. If the shooting is real.
He's one of the rare ones. He had some defense on his highlight reel.
He does. He's a good defender, but people really are worried about his long-term shooting. I'm not super worried about it. I think his form is workable, but that's been the knock on him so far. So, but he is kind of like in that top 10 range. So, you know, where you have him, leaving him off, I think is fair.
With Brandon performing the way he's performing, I just, you know, gotta make room.
You gotta make room. So those are the four guys you left off. Khalil Ware, Anthony Black,
yeah,
Derek Lively, and Keyonte George.
Okay.
All right. So we're into your top 10. So you want to go from one.
I didn't like get rid of number 10. Three, did I?
No.
Like so far I'm doing okay.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing just fine. I mean, like,
I feel great.
You're not saying you're not drafting these kids. You're just eliminating them from your top 10.
Here's the thing. For anybody who wants to know, I truly expect to have a career in NBA analysis, and to have this as the first thing out about me, like, the can you believe what this guy said about Anthony Black? It'll be just so sad for me.
No, you're doing a great job. And it literally, the exercise was, hey, you don't know who these players are. Watch their YouTube highlights. And let's see how it goes. So
it'd be like watching. Remember, like when NBC had like the Comedy Thursdays.
Sure.
Like it was like The Office and then Parks and Rec and then a bunch of shows ripped off those two shows.
Yeah.
It'd be like watching the commercials at the beginning of the season, being like, which one becomes an all-time classic that's in syndication forever? It'd be right. Like watching it from a commercial and being like, I guess this Office show seems like it has what it takes.
Almost exactly like that.
Well, like that.
All right. So okay. Do you want to start at 1 or 10 here?
No, I think I'm going to go 10 down.
All right.
Which is bold because I truly, again, have no idea what I'm doing here.
All right.
I'm going to go Dylan Mitchell at number 10.
Okay. It's a good pick.
Yeah. At number 10?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the right move.
I love, speaking of flying, oh my gosh, I could watch this man jump forever. It is incredible to watch. Like,
yeah.
When he takes off the ground, he has a turbo boost that the rest of the world does not have. Like, he has a cheat code for jumping. It's amazing. Like, that's all that I could think about with him was, my good God, this man can fly.
Yeah, he's an insane, insane athlete. And I think he's shooting like 80% this year. Like,
that's awesome.
Legitimately. But all he does is like dunk the ball. And
love it.
You know, he's not a center. So, like, you know, for a center, that's fine. But for a wing, like, teams are going to be like, hey,
okay,
what's up with that jump shot?
I'd love some shooting from a 6'8". So I'm going to put him at 10. Feels good there.
Yeah. So, you know, he's kind of a guy that people have soured on a little bit because they're like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we saw him shoot a little bit? And then he just hasn't done it at all. He's really
Wasn't one pass in any of his highlight reels.
No, he's not. He's a play finisher.
But Dylan Mitchell, my number 10 pick.
So, makes sense. That's people have soured on him a little bit because he hasn't shown anything with the jump shot.
I'm going to get into a very weird spot here because there's a guy who I think should be lower. But you told me 2 weeks ago he will be my favorite player.
Right.
And if you hadn't have told me that and I watched all these videos, I still would have said what I'm going to say about him, and I'm not putting it. So I'll get to that later. All right. He should probably be number 9, but I'm not putting him there at all. All right? We'll get to him later. Right here, I'm going to put Cam Whitmore.
Okay.
He's 6'8", 232 pounds, and every bit of it. The only, like, in massive letters, I wrote power. Like, he looks like power.
Yeah.
And I love, more than anybody else, his stop and start thing that he does.
Mm.
He's incredible. Actually, I don't put him at 9. That's insanity. I'm moving him up.
It happens that quick sometimes.
Take that.
It really does.
Not him yet. Not him. I'm going with Cason Wallace.
Okay.
He's aggressive. He plays defense. He's a playmaker, like, with intention. So, like, I've noticed with a lot of young NBA point guards, when they get their garbage time or, their few minutes or even some of the preseason stuff, they'll pass to be like, I got vision, but they don't got vision. They're just passing so that they can be the guy who's unselfish. Like, this kid actually passes with intention, and I really like that about him. And he's a playmaker. It seems like he's a playmaker who creates shots for himself and other people. And he does not seem scared. A lot of these kids, you can tell their age. Even when they're playing against kids, like you see it as soon as they get to the NBA, they just hear footsteps and they're terrified. And like every movement is kind of like that. Like they're not fully committed to the fluidity of their own body because like they're terrified that they're about to get brought down the G League of something. So he is not scared. And I like that about him, but he's also pretty good. I put him in at number 9.
Yeah. I think that's also like keeping him in your top 10. I think that's an appropriate ranking. People love him. Like, so there are people who absolutely love him because of literally all the things that you said. Like, he is an amazing defender. People compare him to Drew Holiday. And
yeah, you see it. Now that you say that, you do
like,
see it.
Like, he's very strong for like his body, like, doesn't look like the body of an 18-year-old person. Like, he's very strong. Mm-hmm. He's built and he's actually performing. And one of the things is that like Kentucky guards typically don't perform as well as they do in the NBA at Kentucky. There's like,
okay,
they're like handcuffed. There's a constraint. It would be like you on a stage and people are like, we want to hire you to do a show. And your whole thing is like jumping around and bringing energy and getting the crowd involved and then being like, but also you have to sit down the entire time.
Right. So you're saying when they're at Kentucky, they have to do that.
Yeah, so like Devin
what's
Booker,
amazing is I actually saw footage of him in Kentucky, this kid Kaysen, and he is doing it.
Yeah,
like he's really going. He's like, not looking.
He had eight steals
around
in a game. He had 8 steals in a game. Right, like he's had some really good moments. But like Kentucky guards, like Tyrese Maxey, who's amazing, right? Like he went 21st in the draft, and he was like in the preseason he was a top 10 guy. Emmanuel Quickley went like 20 something. Devin Booker, it's all of these guys who just. They're just held back a little bit. And Kaysen looks like he's kind of bucking that trend a little bit. So
well, I love that about him. And I love how aggressive he is. I really, really, really love it. With the ball and off the ball.
All right. So that was number 9. Number 8.
See, we're really getting into it here because now I got to try and make some decisions of people. I was like, oh, they'll be in my top 5. And apparently it was 8 players.
It's really hard.
I'm going to put Derek Whitehead here.
Okay.
This is number 8 or 7?
This was number 8.
All right. Now, here's the reason that I'm upset to put him at number 8. I don't think anybody from Newark, Jersey, who's 6'7", and moves the way this kid does, should be that low. But these other guys are kind of incredible. So I'm putting Derek Whitehead at number 8, probably regrettably. But he creates opportunity, versatile shooter. And, again, I write seems to play defense because it could just be the 2 times he did it.
Yeah.
In the clip. But he's not scared to get to the rim. Like he goes to the rim. I didn't see anything like a lot of these players as they get further on, you see that they're patient. I didn't notice that about him, but I did notice that he is not scared of anything, which is I guess what you want if you're not gonna be patient.
He was not patient. Like you're watching high school highlights because he's another guy who was like hurt. And you know, he's only played like a few games for Duke. He's off the bench. He's had a short leash. He's coming back. He hasn't like, it was a foot injury. So he, you know, isn't like in good shape. He couldn't like stay in shape, but like he went to Montverde Academy and he like in the video you're probably watching was his senior year. But before that, like he played on super teams. Like Montverde is like a powerhouse academy. So he was on the same team with like Scotty Barnes and Moses Moody and Cade Cunningham. And he was like off the bench and like not, you know, like just another random guy. And he finally got his opportunity. So when you say he wasn't patient, because he's been waiting for a while.
He's like, it's time, I'm here.
He's like, I am the lead singer now.
he's a real finessis about it, which I like.
Yeah. So, you know, his thing is sometimes he settles for jump shots because he's such a good shooter that sometimes it just seems like he's just like, I could hit this really hard jump shot. Okay. So we're going to see what happens with him because he was a guy that like people were like, he could be 3rd. But like, as it stands right now with him coming back from injury, this is probably an appropriate ranking for him.
Where do you put him?
I think he came in at like 9 or 10 on my preseason board.
Okay. I feel good about this.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I want to put this guy at 4. Sorry, I'm trying to do this in advance so I don't like burn my. I really, really, I'm obsessed. Obsessed with 3 of these dudes. Like, obsessed with them.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. It's like so exciting.
You're on 7.
I'm on 7. All right. My number seven is going to be – see, I don't want to put him there because I love him so much. I'm going to put Jairus Walker there.
Okay.
I want to put him, so we're very, very clear, number one. Because you know me very, very well, and you know what I like in life and basketball.
Yeah.
And I just haven't watched any college basketball again, like for anybody just tuning in at the 33-minute mark here. I really, really like very particular things. And Corey, recently, like my band's doing this thing for FanDuel, and I have to prepare myself for March Madness. We're going to do a big promotion with this thing. So I need to start. This is a very great exercise for me to get into what I need to get into for the spring with the band that I'm in. You were like, the guy that you were going to love, because they wanted to know who my favorite college basketball player was. And you were like, your favorite is Jairus Walker. And I was like, why? You were like, just trust me, it's Jairus Walker. And if I hadn't seen, if I hadn't heard that, and I saw all these guys play, I'd be like, that guy's special. He's right. Amazing. What I wrote about him is that he is 6'8", 240, and looks like a cartoon character. And I mean that in the best possible way, because it does not look like a human being could actually be in this type of shape. Like, he looks like if they drew a superhero playing basketball. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it looks like Robin Williams comic book art in real life.
It's amazing. Like, he looks amazing. And then, like, he's got touch. Like, because he looks like he's just like, I'm going to destroy what is in my path, and it's going to be brutal and violent. But he's got touch. And from what I've seen from his clips, again, I'm only seeing these clips. I think it was like three different games. I got to see 30 seconds of each game. So I saw very little, but enough to know that he's got vision. He's incredibly fast, which you know is my favorite. And he's very, very powerful, but with like a poignant touch to it. It's really hard to explain. Where do you have him?
So he is third for me, but I want to be
very
clear. So I
can put him higher?
You can. And I want to be very clear. I'm in the minority on that opinion. Like,
no.
I'm very early on the Jairus Walker train and putting him that high.
What number did I put him at?
You put him at seven.
Which is
probably still higher than what his draft stock is currently. He's probably like the 10th ranked guy. That's what he came in as.
I think everybody's wrong.
I agree.
Like, I only put him there so I wouldn't get laughed off the floor right now. But now that I know you have him higher, I'm telling you right now, I'm locking him at four.
Okay.
I would like to put him two.
So quick story about Jairus Walker, because I wrote about him, again, for NoCeilingsNBA.com. You can subscribe. It's free. You get content delivered to your inbox Monday through Friday. I wrote about him, and the title of the article was Jairus Walker is Made of Lions. And
that is exactly right. I know what you're saying. Go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So you were, you know, so we talked about how we used to tour together, and one of the tours we did, the Bamboozle Roadshow, I don't know if it existed, but you could Google it, and it seems like it did. It was a figment of our imagination. It was five of the craziest weeks that we've ever had with really, I mean, we danced with Hanson to an ice cream truck song.
And
you could YouTube that. Like, that happened. Like, there's footage of us.
They also then took us to their bus and made us salsa.
As a whole bunch of weird things happened on this tour. And one of the weirdest people on the tour was Stephen Jenkins, who is the singer of Third Eye Blind. You know, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like that guy. You know, great song. The hit record. And every night on the tour, when he would, like, introduce his bandmates, he would get to his drummer, and he would be like, he is made of lions. And we were like, what does that mean?
Scott. He's made of lions. And I remember looking at you. I know exactly where I was standing. I know exactly what city we were in. And I looked at you. I was like, the greatest thing I've ever heard someone say. And I say it around other people now. To this day, I quote it all the time. And very rarely does anyone know what I'm talking about. Anybody who has seen Jairus Walker play basketball knows exactly what we're talking about.
He is made of lions.
I think that kid is going to grow up to swing entire championships. Like, I truly, truly believe it. I think that. Is he the best scorer? How would I know? Again, I'm only seeing these clips. Is he the best ball handler? I have no idea because it's not in the clips. But he is special. Like, you see this kid move, and you, like, I don't know why I think he's so thoughtful. Again, just from like 7 minutes of highlights that I saw. But he just seems like he understands the game even beyond his body's ability. And it seems like he's going to get faster and stronger and more concentrated. And I put him at 4 and I lock him there. So I'm going back to 7. But I lock him at 4.
You're back.
I thought I was going to get laughed off the court for this, because this next one, I believe this person is much higher on people's list, but, and I'm just saying this because every video you go to, like, this is the other guy from the draft, right? Like, this is where the draft starts. And I'm like, I don't want to know that because I'm doing something where I'm not supposed to know anything.
Right. But spoilers.
It is a spoiler. I'm going to do it. I'm committing to it. Yeah, because I'm running out of this thing and I'm not taking those other two kids out. Wait. How many do I have left? 7?
You're at 7 right now. Jairus Walker's locked in at number 4 for you.
Okay, I already did 4. Very important. All right, I'm going to put, and I don't like it, I'm going to put Nick Smith Jr. here.
Oh, all right.
You're saying who, because that's everybody's number 3 or 4?
All right, so here's the thing about Nick Smith Jr. He literally played his first college game tonight. He played a couple of minutes. He was like 0 for 2. He hasn't played college basketball yet. Now, he is currently like the consensus 4th ranked guy. But what happens is, before the season, these rankings come out. What I do is I try to get the average ranking from multiple different people to try to take away any biases. He's the 4th ranked guy.
Okay.
Before the season, it's like this awesome car that is in the lot that you want to buy. And then you drive off the lot and the value decreases. Okay. And for most of these guys, they've driven off the lot and their value has decreased a little bit. Nick Smith Jr. has thrived on the fact that he hasn't been driven off the lot yet. So he is still the 4th ranked guy because he
hasn't. No one was able to know any weakness because he hadn't shown any yet.
Right. Because it's just mostly people who have just watched his highlights on YouTube. And then the people that are ranking him, you know, they've seen him in person. They've seen him in high school. They've been following him.
There's a lot to be said about that, but I – go on.
Yeah, so he – at this ranking, I think it's fair. I think it's fair because, you know, from looking at it from like an NBA context too, like if you're like a 6'4" guard and you're going to be taken in like the top 5, like you have to be pretty fucking awesome at it. Because there's so many good guards in the NBA to like recoup that value. But Nick Smith could be one of those guys. We just don't know yet because he hasn't played.
Okay. Well, I like it. I think I figured out why my numbers are all messed up. But yeah, with Nick Smith Jr., I feel good about putting him at 7 because these other kids are just, they're absolutely incredible. Like anomalies. Like I don't care. I don't understand how all these kids are coming in the league at the same time. It almost feels like this is the NBA's chance to make a second league, like junior league, but not the one that they already have, like a different one. Like one that doesn't take place at a gym, like an actual gym. All right, listen. Who have I said so far in a 10?
All right, number 10 was Dylan Mitchell. Number 9 was Cason Wallace. Number 8 was Jarique Whitehead. Number 7 was Nick Smith Jr.
And I have not said Cam Whitmore yet?
You were going to put Cam Whitmore, but you took him off your board. You wanted to move him.
Excellent. I'll tell you why I wanted to move him, and I'll tell you why he's my number 6.
Okay.
One, he's my number 6 because Jairus is locked in at 4. It's very important to which I mean. But he is my number 6 because his stop and start thing that he does. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Or did I just see it in 3 different videos? His stop and start thing. So I played hockey at a very, very high level. I played on Branch U.S. national team. I was the worst player on the team, but I was there. So I think in my age group, I was ranked like number 18 or something, which, you know,
it's pretty good.
It's no Jairus Walker. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
So the thing that I was good at was stops and starts because I don't get tired. I don't know if you see the people versus the Nassus on a Tecumbo. I don't get tired. So what I would do is I'd go 100 miles an hour, hit the brakes, watch these kids literally, like, I guess it's the hockey version of breaking ankles, and then I'd skate around their dead body, and I would just go to the net and do what I was going to do. That kid does it in a way that doesn't seem feasible while controlling the ball. Like, it is special to watch. Like, really, really, really cool. And he looks larger than life amongst these other people. Now, again, I could be watching middle school footage. I don't know what I'm seeing in these videos. But he does. It's not even that he's taller. It's almost like the same thing with Jairus, where a little bit looks like he's a cartoon character. Like, it looks like he was drawn into the scene like Space Jam because he's got this ability to just put his body where it needs to be. And I, again, this is 7 minutes of footage, but it was very impressive to me.
Yeah. He is a, what we have termed here is a power wing. Like, he's just, he's so graceful as an athlete, because like most guys his size are just like, you would think are like juggernaut, like they just want to go through you. But like you said, he could stop, start, he could like slither in between people, and then like,
yeah, that finesse.
He's in the, and when he's in the air, he could like contort his body and like do all that crazy stuff. But also he could just like jump higher than you and like go through you while he's in the air.
Amazing. Like it's truly notable.
And so he's another guy who's hurt and hasn't played yet. He is headed to Villanova, but he played in the FIBA tournament this year, where the USA got to play. Like, it wasn't the main one where it's like all of the under 18 or under 19, depending on what year, kids from all over the world play. This was, I believe, the Americas. So the competition wasn't great. Like, the US was like beating teams by a million points every game.
Right.
But he was so much noticeably better than every other player on the court in this tournament that it was like, oh my God, like this dude could be a special player.
He seems wise beyond his years in the few things I saw. Like some of the moves, like you're expecting, after, especially after watching, like, I guess it was almost 2 hours. I told myself I'd do this in 30 minutes. It took about 2 hours to get caught up in some of it.
Yeah.
Especially when you get to my top four, like, oh my God, you watch those kids play basketball forever. But the, he's got something that's more than what these other kids have. And it's very, very clear to see. In my personal estimation as a professional for now, 44 minutes.
I hope he plays.
Where do you have him?
I think I had him at 6.
What kind of an injury is it? Oh, so exactly where I had him? Nice.
Yeah.
What kind of injury was it?
It's a finger injury, I believe, or a hand injury, but it's been very, they were like, we'll update you in a month. And then it was a month, and there was like, there was no updates. So we'll see.
That's like a Larry Tominia finger injury. That's tough.
Yeah. So hopefully he comes back and he's healthy.
Shooting him?
I don't know, but the shooting is the question with him. Like, he shot it so well in the FIBA international stuff, but the shooting is like the one thing where people are like, was that real or not? Because it's like the sample size is so small.
You catch fire for the weekend.
And if you get, you know, you hurt your hand, obviously that could alter your shooting. So hopefully he comes back and, you know, he's great. All right, number five,
I'm splitting them up. Because that's how much I feel about Jared. I'm putting Asar Thompson.
Okay.
I'm putting him there. The thing that pops out the second you start seeing this kid move is athlete. Like, it's crazy, crazy to watch. Massive, massive air. Moves the ball. Excellent shot. And it seems like of most of these kids, like, you know, at this point you kind of get into it where they all have it. But his fundamentals, because with him, the highlight reel is a little more sophisticated. There's more to the game. And it might be because Eric plays off his brother. They show both sides of it. But fundamentally, he seems sound and incredibly patient. Incredibly patient. Like, watching kids, like, being like, I know he's going to do this. Which actually might be one of the curses of watching a video of kids at this age. Because you're not playing against experience. And I was this size, which you can't see. I'm 6'7". I'm a very, very fantastic Italian 5'9½. But I was this size in fifth and sixth grade. So I was a monster. And I would just play, I was playing hockey at a very high level at a very young age. And I would just be just better than these kids because physically I was a monster compared to them. So I wasn't actually playing good hockey. I was just playing better than these kids because of my size. So I don't know if it's that he's playing against inexperienced players and he's this patient because he's waiting for them to mess up. Or if he actually has that vision, because if he does, it is truly special.
All right. So the Thompson twins are tricky, I think, for everybody. And I think I'm higher on Asar than some other people. Some people are higher on him than me. The Thompson twins are two of the kids that I saw when I went to Atlanta last month for the overtime league. And I think you breaking down like what your experience was like playing hockey as like a more physically developed person is a very pertinent point when discussing the Thompson twins, because it's clear as soon as you watch them, they are top tier athletes, like at whatever level they play at.
It seems like they could play any sport and be amazing.
They're just
like picture perfect.
They're unbelievable athletes, but they're in this overtime thing, which is in second year. And you know, some of the games they play in, like they're literally playing against some people on the court that are sophomores in high school. And, okay. you know, they're in,
it kind of looked like that.
And they're in their first year, which would be like their college year. Like, so they are, you know, a year older than a high school senior. So
see, it did seem familiar to me.
Yeah. And that's so, but you know, they went overseas before their season started and they played like a professional team that gave you the hits such as Nikola Jokic, Nikola Jovic, and a bunch, you know, just a bunch of Marko Simunovic for all the Bulls fans out there. Just a bunch of like, they're like,
and me.
And yeah, they're a powerhouse for like breeding NBA talent. And they have a guy, Nikola Jurišić, who's going to get drafted probably in the first round this year.
Very
and like both of those kids played really well against this professional team. So seeing that, it was a very good sign because it's like, how do you judge these kids against other high school kids? And the high school kids they're playing against are, you know, the top, they're top tier high school age kids. It's not like they're just playing against like the team I coach.
But
they're,
you know,
playing
that a high school kid in June versus a high school kid that next September can be two literally different humans.
Completely different players. And that's what's gonna, like, some of these kids that are sophomores now that like I'm obsessed with because I'm like, they're going to be insane in 2 years when they're developed. But that is some of the kids they're playing. So it's a tricky thing. But Asar is like, he's very smooth. The question is his jumper. And he's shot it better this year. His jump shot, I think I'm going to do a video on it.
A lot of passing in his highlights, by the way.
He's a underrated passer because his brother is known as the passer. But his jumper's gotten a lot better.
These kids look like, by the way, like they were made in a factory to sell basketball shoes. Because their power and like the moves that they are able to pull off against these kids are so impressive. It's like a dunk competition when the dunk competition was good caliber dunks in live gameplay. And they look like supermodels. Like, it is insane that there are two of these people. Like, amazing. Amazing stuff. Like, they're going to be around for a very long time, it seems like.
They're very intriguing prospects and very like well-spoken, like got a chance to speak to them. Like, they're being literally like they're in a factory for basketball players. Like,
it seems like they, and I will say this, some of these kids, you can tell, like, it seems like they like playing basketball. His brother, who is my third.
Right. Because we already went through your
like four. He genuinely, like, it seems like they genuinely love playing basketball. It could be because they're very good at it. But it seems like they enjoy the game, and that's very exciting to see.
Yeah.
Because some of these other kids, it's like, Anyway, that's my number four pick. Or number five pick. My number four, if you want me to talk about him again, I will. I'm just so excited about it.
We're going to go straight to number three.
Number three, Amen Thompson. His brother is amazing. But to me, you know, I love razzmatazz.
Sure.
His flash. And like, because it was like the highlight reel that I saw of the two of them was like this one, but it was made by the same people, whoever made that video.
Probably all the time.
The razzmatazz of this kid, Amen Thompson, speaks to my soul.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that, like, there was one, it was a putback, and then he jumped up just to put his chin on the rim just to show he could do it. Like, it was unbelievable to see. He is so much higher than the rest of people on the planet Earth when he jumps. It is.
Yeah.
It's insane to watch. It's absolutely, absolutely insane. It seems unstoppable, and he's so explosive. But the two of them are just, they are silky smooth.
Yeah.
I don't know if that comes across in live play, but it seems like it does.
Yeah, I mean, when I was questioning them a little bit because of the like competition level. So when I went to see them, I was like, I need to see how they move. Like, that for me, that's like a big thing. Like, I like, because NBA players move a certain way. Like, you can watch a college game,
except for one, and can you name who it is? And it's amazing to watch because he looks like a kid on his first date in eighth grade all the time.
It's the Nassus.
The answer is Klay Thompson. The answer is Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson looks like the girl he likes just showed up all the time.
That's what we love.
Out of pure love, he's one of my favorite players of all time. He's incredible and can do no wrong in my book. And I'm particularly loving this tear he's been on. But like every time he misses a shot, he's like, oh, dang. Like, fixes, like, awkwardly fixes something, goes, and then like runs back slowly. Like, it's amazing.
He is one of the all-time NBA personalities. For sure. he's
you told me that as I got into basketball. You're like, wait till Klay Thompson comes back. He's gonna be your favorite. And
Claytheism. There's a whole religion for Klay out on the internet. Yeah,
these kids do not move like Klay Thompson. They move like sees. They move like somewhat of a smoother jaw. Like they really are so smooth looking.
Yeah.
Was it like that in real life?
Amen. Yeah. So like, Asar did this thing, and he was actually coming back from like an ankle injury. So he wasn't like as explosive as he normally is, but he did this like Euro step in between people that I saw like 5 feet away. That like I was like, that was the craziest. He looked like he was floating on clouds. But Amen, the way how fast he is, like you like he does get compared to like a bigger version of Ja, you know, because he's a great passer and how explosive he is. He's a special, you know, he's a special because it's effortless. Like, you know, there are guys who could jump really high. But it's like not as functional as like, can you do it in a basketball game?
What he's doing while he's up there is different.
Yeah.
It's truly freakish to see. Like if these other two weren't in the draft, I'd be like, that guy is the best player I've ever seen in my life. Like it's crazy to watch.
Yeah. And
when he's flying, I'm saying.
And you know, the overtime, like this is an exercise based on highlights, but like he's the consensus number three guy as of today. Like that's.
Is he really?
He is. That's who people.
Amen or Asar?
Amen. He is the consensus number three guy preseason still today. Like it's a weird thing. Like I don't really see his draft stock dropping. Maybe somebody could like pull ahead of him, but because
they're
of
still
the
an overtime elite this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so you were allowed to play an extra year. Like you were at high school age and then an extra year.
Well, for the overtime elite. Yeah. So they signed a weird deal because they signed it in the first season of overtime. Like they were two of the big gets when they weren't eligible for the draft. And this was before the NIL deal got announced where college players can make money. So now what the overtime's doing with a lot of the kids to get them to come to their program is they're getting them earlier and they're giving them scholarships instead of paying them. Like these kids. Okay. These kids are under a 2-year contract where they're getting like, you know, whatever it is, like millions of dollars or whatever, right?
That's
like,
awesome.
Which is like an awesome deal, but they weren't allowed to play college.
Okay.
Because pros. They're pros.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the kids that are in this overtime league are on scholarship and they get NIL deals. So they can still make money, not awesome. As much, but they keep their college eligibility because the NIL stuff. So like some of these kids are going to be in college
next
year. How
did it take this long for these kids to get paid to entertain millions
of
people?
It's truly, truly insane.
You're right. There's so much to do with punk rock music and how like, it's just, well, that's kind of how they do it. So I guess that's how it's always been done.
Like, right. It's just like exploiting people who are like responsible for making money, but that's what it is. But yeah, they're special athletes.
It's a weird, and this is my first foray into any of the draft stuff, as you know, and I've supported you for a long time, but I just never knew what you were talking about. Like, I just never knew. So the thing that's crazy about this is that all of these players exist, and then there's Scoot Henderson. And he's also not the best one. Like, it's completely insane. Is this, in recent history, like asking for a friend who hasn't paid any attention to the draft for the last 30 years, is this the most enticing draft class of the last 20 years?
It's definitely up there in conversation. I mean,
not knowing where anybody's going to wind up, like the anticipation of, is this like one of the best?
It's for sure. I mean,
when was the last time it was like this?
Probably you could argue Zion and Ja went back to back.
I heard a lot about that stuff. I remember watching some clips that year.
And then it was Darius Garland was in that one. RJ Barrett was in that one, but like, that one wasn't as deep as this one should be. So after that, I mean, you know, it's probably because like Victor and Scoot are the level of prospect they are. I mean, you're probably talking about LeBron James, Carmelo, Dwayne Wade in 2003.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I think that in 2003, I was playing punk rock shows to 10 people.
I was there doing security.
We run a different path. Amazing. Man, it just seems like a really deep thing. And it seems like this year compared to last year, because I didn't know, you know, I saw the players when they came in. And it just seems far and away much better than last year's draft.
And last year's great. Last year's
I didn't
really
mean last year.
Really
I meant the
pandemic one. The pandemic.
Yeah, that one was tough. It was tough.
That one was tough. There's, you know, Ant Edwards, LaMelo, you know, there's some guys, but overall, it's a tough one.
We're on the topic of draft stuff. Tonight is the first time Mathurin is playing against LeBron, and I'm just so happy after the quote that Mathurin threw out there. I can't wait to do that.
Yeah, see,
it's happening right now.
Mathurin was a tough one because, I mean, he went six, which is pretty appropriate, but a lot of people were like, you know, one, he played for Arizona, so he's on that West Coast time. So a lot of people probably just didn't stay up to watch him fully. But, you know,
crazy.
He's one of those guys that he's just better in the NBA than he was in college. Like, he was a good college player, but the NBA just fits him better. But
he's a good NBA player. Like, it's crazy to watch.
He really is. All right, number two, Scoot Henderson.
What's crazy about Scoot Henderson, when I looked it up, I had known that he was short. Like, I knew he was not much taller than me, a small Italian man. But when you see it written down at 6'2", and you think about what we saw when they came out to Vegas, I can't believe this man plays as big as he does. In my personal opinion, and again, this is a person who knows nothing about amateur basketball. I guess it's not even amateur. What's he playing? He's playing G League tonight?
Yeah, he's a professional.
That's professional basketball. It's all professional basketball now, apparently.
A lot more people. Not the college kids, but you know.
Anyway, we're talking about draft basketball. Like, he plays like somebody who has a league, like 10 years in the league experience, and he's angry.
Yeah.
Like, he would make a great New York Knick if the Knicks had good players. Is that rude?
Yes. I mean, well, this isn't.
Knicks are good this year, by the way.
We're from New York, but, you know, we have listeners from all over. It's not like this is
a Knicks
podcast.
We're a little harder on New York. We're a little harder on New York than. Anyway,
we're getting a call from Tony from Seaford is on the line.
Here's the thing about the Knicks. I'll tell you about it right now. The Knickerbockers are really in some trouble, and I'll tell you why. They got a lot up front. They lose it in the third, and every game's a comeback in the fourth. What are we thinking?
That was really good.
Ain't no stopping Obi Toppin. Let the kid cook. This is every call that comes on the radio here. Give me IQ, give me Obi, or give me death. Yeah, a little bit of that.
So Scoot Henderson, professional basketball player.
Professional basketball player. Explosive, defense, vision, tough, patient, confident as the day is long.
Yeah. So here's the crazy thing. Like, the G League Ignite is in its third year. And Scoot did something similar to, like, the Thompson Twins, where he gave up his senior high school year to go play for the G League Ignite last year.
Has he been there since he was 17?
Yeah. So last year, it was his second game as a 17-year-old playing against legitimate professionals.
He put up
28 points in his second game as a 17-year-old in the G League. Like, this kid is, he was born for it. And the crazy thing is, like, you know, he played with Jaden Hardy and who's, you know, on the Mavericks, and Marjon Beauchamp, who's on the Bucks, and, like, a bunch of NBA guys got drafted off his team. He was far and away, like, the best prospect, and he was a 17-year-old.
Starting sometimes.
Yeah. And we were in Vegas for Summer League, and he showed up and sat down next to us, and nobody knew him. And, like, this is, he
That's
played
insane.
On these teams. Like,
the last time that ever happened.
Like, he literally just came down. Like, we were in the B gym. Like, there, like, again, like punk rock, like in Summer League, like, there's the main stage and the main gym,
and then there's
side stage. And, like, they were playing side stage. He walked in the side stage gym, just walked like 10 rows up, sat down directly next to us, and he just watched the game in peace.
Never happened to him again.
It'll never happen to him again. Like, he can't sit in the crowd anymore. Like, he will have to sit
not a chance
courtside, like, in private, or he'll get mobbed.
I would recognize him from 100 feet away. Like, yeah, he's a superstar. Like, he's going to be a superstar. He plays at a level that makes these other people look like children, even though they're the same age.
Yeah.
Like, he is tough. And
they're not the same age. Like, he's playing in a professional league. Like, some of the guys he's playing against are, like, in their mid-20s.
Right. I'm talking about everyone from three down.
Right. Yeah.
On my list. Like, these are children in comparison to him. Like, he has experience beyond his years. And I don't know how or why, but it's amazing to watch.
What's crazy about him is, like, because he's so athletic, like, he's an insane athlete, and most people like that, don't play slow. Like he plays like you the with the patience you mentioned way earlier, and people who are that athletic don't play like that. Like they want it, like when you're that young, you just want to be quicker and faster and more athletic than everybody. And he's able to play like he is like a 28-year-old guy who like isn't athletic at all.
He plays to win basketball games. These other kids are playing to get drafted.
Yeah.
And it's you can't blame them. They don't know. Well, first of all, they should play to get drafted. That's what they're trying to do. But this kid, he's playing like, if it means I have 10 assists tonight and no points, he doesn't care. But that also doesn't happen because he's so damn good.
Right. Like he's dominating. And I, you know, look, he's the number two guy on almost everybody's board. You know, I think they're,
Where do other people have him?
Everyone has him at two. Everybody.
On other people, like the people were like, he's not two. Like, is he one or is he four?
No, it would be one. Like, he's either one or two. Like, if you don't have him at two, it's because you have him at one. And I don't know. Like, he is in any draft, he's the number one pick, except this one. But there are going to be people, and there are some people who are like, I think he's one because maybe Victor is, you know, going to not be healthy or something. You know, like, he's an injury risk. Like, who knows?
Where does he compare at this age? Like Anthony Edwards at this age, where does he compare to?
So, Anthony Edwards, he reclassified. So, he was playing college in what would have been his senior year. And, like, he was good. But, you know, he wasn't like.
Oh, his senior year of high school, he was playing college ball.
Yeah.
What would have been? Okay.
So, Scoot was playing professionally what would have been his senior year. So coming out, like Anthony Edwards was very good prospect. You know, he was the number one player in the draft. Like he got drafted first. So, you know, obviously he was amazing. But like he was immature and like people thought he was a chucker. He came out like, I think it was the day of the draft. He was like, I like football better than basketball. I've always wanted to be a rapper.
I do remember that.
So like,
and Lord knows he may end up doing these things.
He's actually an incredible rapper. He's an incredible rapper. But like he's good at literally everything. He truly is. He didn't have the maturity though.
This summer.
You know.
Not good at maturity.
No.
Really hope he cleans this one up. Yeah. But wait, so if he was in the same draft, if it was Cade, Scoot, and Anthony Edwards, the years they went.
Yeah.
What's the order of that?
I think it would have been Scoot, Cade, Anthony Edwards.
I would agree.
There's a chance that it would have been Cade, Scoot, Anthony Edwards, but I think it probably would have been Scoot because he's doing it against NBA players.
He's playing against people who have experience. Would you like to talk about how – did you watch the show Andor?
No.
Okay. Did you watch Rogue One, the Star Wars film?
Yes.
A Star Wars story? All right. So there is a robot in that movie called K2SO. The same style robot appears, or droid appears in an episode of Andor. And it was the first time I saw this droid since I saw Victor Wembanyama. When K2SO walked on the screen in this episode I saw, I was like, Victor Wembanyama.
He is shaped
exactly the same. Like, look it up. Except his arms might be longer, Victor.
Like, I still don't know if he's real. And, like, there are people at No Ceilings who have seen him in person.
So they've seen him in real life?
Yeah. So, like, you've
never been in a room with him, right?
No. We had guys in Vegas credentialed, watch it. Like, we took behind-the-scenes video of him juggling before the game. Like, you know, like, just everything that would happen to be like, this is not a real person. Except he is.
He's just walking around juggling.
And he's just, like... He's literally like, you know, Tyler Rucker from No Ceilings calls him the blue alien from Space Jam. Like, that's what he looks like on the basketball court compared to all the other players. He looks like he's a monster playing against the Looney Tunes.
That's exactly what he looks like. When there are plays where he's not on the screen and he gets the block. Like, he's not on the screen when the person's collecting. And he storms in two strides off camera to get the block. Like... The other day, I'm sure everybody who watches any form of basketball at all saw when he was two steps from behind the three, two steps for the layup. Like, it's
yeah.
how do you guard it? What's the plan?
So here's the thing with Victor Wembanyama. So Mike Schmitz, who is now the assistant general manager for the Portland Trailblazers, I think he was the guy, the first one who was like, he's like going to be Kevin Durant because he saw him when
I've
he was
heard
like
him credited as that guy by multiple sources as the and first guy
he,
to say it.
He's been seeing, watching him in person, you know, since he was 15 years old or whatever in France.
So you know four people who have seen this person in real life. So
I know multiple people, yes, that have seen this person
it's
in real life.
Not just CGI they add in later.
And unless I'm in the Truman Show, in which case it all makes sense. But he was like, you know, with the Victor is the neck is like the 7'3" Kevin Durant. I was like, I don't know if I see that necessarily, like as he was younger. And I was like, he's amazing. He's the number one pick. He's an insane defender. He's had these crazy flashes of offensive potential. And like, he did it in real leagues. Like he's playing in like, you know, one of the last season, he played one of the best leagues in the world outside of the NBA. So like, he's doing this against legitimate men, and the European rules are like, you know, different than the NBA. It's tougher, but he was still having these crazy flashes. But I was like, calling somebody the next Kevin Durant, like we witnessed together in person the toe on the line game. Like Kevin Durant was shooting, and we were like, before it even got halfway to the net, we were like, that's easily it. Like every
that time. Is some, for people who know basketball to claim next Kevin Durant, that is a massive claim.
It's a massive claim, especially when you're like, he's Rudy Gobert on defense. Like Kevin Durant on offense, Rudy Gobert on defense. Like that's what people are saying about him. I was like, we need to pump the brakes a little bit.
Let's slow it down for a second.
And then Vegas happened.
Oh my God.
And I was like, hey, pedal to the metal, full speed ahead. Like he legitimately this might be what he's like.
There are very few times in anybody's life where you can think, I know where I was when I saw this. I can tell you what I was wearing the first time I saw this person hold a basketball. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my entire life. It's how about this? Every Friday I tune in at like 2 o'clock to watch a game broadcasted by non-broadcasters that they're showing on NBA app because it's that exciting. Like this is absolute pandemonium to watch this person hold a basketball, especially because it looks like an orange in his hand. Like it looks like a plum.
Yeah.
This person's about to eat. Like, relatively speaking, when I hold an orange, it's just as big in my hand as a basketball is in his.
Right.
That's lunacy.
Yeah. It literally looks like the creative player that you make where you just make him as tall as possible. And it's like a 12-foot basketball player in 2K. And he's just good at everything on offense. So it looks really crazy.
He can't shop at normal stores. Like, clothes weren't made for him. Like, he's massive, and he moves like silk. Like he moves as well as these kids who are, you know, 6'7", super fast and aggressive, blah, blah, blah. Like he is, and he's so smart. Like you just watch him, I can see plays ahead if he's out on the court, because you see him start doing something, where is he going? And then he's in the right place every time.
It's really crazy. And what's scary is like he is, in my opinion, as somebody who watched a lot of him last year before, like, you know, there was a crazy amount of hype because he's going to be in this draft.
You've been talking about this kid for a couple years.
But that is to say, where I was like, he has a lot of things to work on. And then the jump that he made from last year to this year, I was like, I don't even know if you could cap him as a talent. Like, he literally has limitless potential, because he made a massive leap, and maybe it's just like, I think a lot of it's confidence. And he was like, you know, he was in Europe. It's like, okay, you have all this hype, but we're not just going to let you do whatever you want. So he went to a team this year who was kind of like, we'll let you do whatever you want. And like, they were smart because
they're truly selling Nets 92 jerseys.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's, you know, they were broadcasting LeBron's games on ESPN when he was in high school.
Right.
And I guess that was the last time you could compare something like this, like Duke with Zion, maybe. But this is like, you know, the NBA is like bending the knee to get people acclimated with him because they know he is the future of the, like, LeBron's been in the NBA for 20 years. Like,
yeah.
It is the year 2022.
This kid wasn't alive yet.
Like, it's the year 2022. If all goes according to plan, like, he will be the face of the league until 2043.
Yeah. And science is only going to get better. But, like, think about this. You just said something very interesting. You were like, oh, this kid's got a long way to go, right? When he was 17, it was a year ago.
Yeah.
He didn't even play that many games. But what this kid has accomplished in 1 year is insane. But we were talking about it earlier. The person you are at 17 versus the person you are at 21 might as well not even know each other. Like, they just have similar clothes, maybe, possibly. But they're not the same person. You are a different person. So the maturity level that this kid already plays at 18, like 18, remember how insufferable we both were at 18 years old? Like,
yeah.
More than we are now. Like, this kid, oh my goodness. Like, I can't wait to see this kid when he's 24 years old. How about this? Giannis is 27 now?
Yeah, something like that.
So his 25, 26-year-old season, like, that's when you watched him become a man, like, emotionally. Yeah. Can you imagine this kid as a man? Like, what is that even going to be like?
It's going to be bizarre. And it's going to be, like, I can't wait to see what team wins the prize, because you have to have a strategy immediately to either be like, we are going to tear it down bare bones so we don't put the team in like the situation that Luka's in, where like he was so good immediately that, you know, like it's hard to build around him through the draft, because it's, you know, you're going to Dallas and like people don't want to sign there, or you're going to be like, we need to contend immediately and you're going to go out and try to sign players because you're like, we could win because he's that good. So it's going to be this weird thing. And like, this is the situation almost that like Anthony Davis was in. He was so good that they were like, let's try to compete now. And they like sold out.
I remember
their
the day Anthony Davis was dubbed the brow. And I remember you were talking about that in the van when we were on tour for quite a while.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, he copyrighted the name the brow. Like, but that was not even close to what this kid is. Like, not even close.
And when people saw Anthony Davis, they were like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was not that long ago.
There was, all right, the day I met my wife, I knew I was going to marry her. It took a lot of convincing, but I did it. The day I saw her, I was like, that is the person I marry. There was leading up to the wedding, leading up to the birth of my children. This, and then signing the record deal at Universal. This might be the fifth most exciting thing that's ever happened to me, is that this man's playing basketball. I'm not even kidding. I think about it every single day of my life. And one thing that I've been thinking about so much, it's not where he's going to wind up, which I can't wait to find out. Like, I'm so excited. I want to know what other teams are going to do in the next 2 years to learn how to stop him.
I think the Magic are trying it. They're like, we're just going to make sure everybody is 6'9 to 7'3.
Hey, Bull's been unbelievable, by the way.
He really is. So I saw Bull. Bull was another, he was one of these kids who was like really highly ranked and then like had like a weird college year. And like, there's a lot of like intel about how like he had a kind of attitude, he was entitled and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, when I watched him, I was like, he doesn't really try. And I was like, kind of out. And he slipped all the way to the second round. And then I saw him play in the G League because he got drafted by Denver and they didn't have their own G League team. So they shared a team. They would send their guys to the Chicago Bulls G League team.
Right.
So I went to see the Chicago Bulls G League team play the Long Island Nets in the Nassau Coliseum. And the G League, especially at this time, it was like, you just pay $5 and then you just...
Yeah, were there people even checking tickets? Or were they just like, please come?
You just go hang out. And you're just like, they literally selected me to take the shot at halftime because I was just there.
Hey, you want to know how I know you didn't make the shot? I've never heard that story before. That's how I know you didn't make the shot.
I was wide left by like a foot. It was otherwise like the distance was great. But the thing is that they don't tell you, and this is how they do it at the Long Island Nets stadium. They give you street balls. Like, they don't give you the balls that the players use. They're like, they give you the street ball that, like, if you don't either bank it directly in or swish, there's absolutely no chance.
You're a pro weight guy. I understand. It was working against you.
You get that. But anyway, Bol Bol was playing there, and I was standing courtside, like, watching him. And I was like, this is the craziest thing I have ever seen in my life. There's nothing on a basketball court that will ever be crazier than this moment where I see this man who is as fluid as he is at that height, at that length, at that weight, and that he like looked awesome, and he completely shifted my perspective on him because I saw him in person. And then Victor comes along just mere years later, and I can't even imagine what that looks like because he's taller and longer and smoother. He's literally like an upgrade.
He's taller, and he's Michael Jordan. Like, it's absolutely one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Like, he's breaking kids' ankles at 7. Is he 7'2 or 7'3?
So he's listed at 7'3, but that's in socks. And NBA players get listed, you know, at their height in shoes. He's going to be listed at, he's 7'5.
Think about how all these players still have room to grow. Like, what, I don't even understand. There are certain plays that you see in these highlight reels where he just goes, he gets him on his tippy toes a little bit to throw it down. And it's like, other players can't do that.
Now, just to think how crazy it is and think about like 20 years in the future, think about like, because you were still kind of aware of basketball at this point. Like, think of Manute Bol.
Oh, I was very aware of Manute Bol.
Think of Sean Bradley.
Yeah.
And those guys, you know, were that height and they didn't move the way that he moves.
I had a Sean Bradley t-shirt because I lived in the greater Philadelphia area and he was tall. Like, that, those are the two things that had to happen. I lived near it and he was tall. And I was like, that's amazing. And I had a shirt about it. This is a way, way, way different thing. Like, immediately, people like Giannis are going to have to be like, they're going to have to get up for that game. February 12th, the Lord's luckiest team comes to town and they have this kid on it. Giannis has to get up as if it's a playoff game. Like, that's going to be crazy.
I mean, the sight of Giannis is crazy enough. And then it's the whole thing's crazy. To kind of bring it back, we're going to run through your top 10 before we close this Thank off. You. You had Dylan Mitchell at 10. You had Cason Wallace at 9. Dariq Whitehead at 8. Nick Smith Jr. at 7. Cam Whitmore at 6. Asar Thompson at 5. Jairus Walker at 4. Amen Thompson at 3. Scoot Henderson at 2. Victor at 1. And that is a completely rational big board. Top 10.
I didn't embarrass the franchise, you're saying.
Yeah. I'm
literally shocked, just so you know. Because I legitimately, I had heard that there were twins who were very good. And I, yeah, obviously Victor and Scoot. I literally had never heard any of these other players in my life.
I'm aware.
You told me 2 weeks ago that Jairus would grow up to be my favorite player. Which is true. Jairus is my favorite player.
Yeah, I think when you do your FanDuel thing, and I'm assuming the Houston Cougars will be there, I think it'll be a really exciting time for you to see him in person.
Well, this is an excellent foray into the college and minor, because they're professional also. What do you call that?
We'll call it the majors and the minors.
It's
so,
been an excellent, like, just getting there, an entrance into it. It's been wonderful.
So let's sign off, because, you know, running at like hour 15, hour 20 right now, and tell the people where they could find your boys and all that stuff, and if you have anything coming up with that.
It's your boys, and it's spelled dumb. YA'BOYZ, and it's all one word. I don't know how to explain that, but it's something that we decided on a while ago and went with it. But it's called Your Boys. We got songs coming out this spring. We have songs out now. We are the official song of college football on ESPN, so you've heard us before whether you wanted to or not. That's been for the last 3 years. We did it. Because we had music out before we had music out, I guess. And I'm Joe Pending on all social things and even Twitter, as long as it's still there. So thank you for letting me do this. I had a great time.
I also had a great time. I appreciate it. This was like I said, at the top, I was like, could go off the rails. I think it could have gone worse.
We kept it relatively close to the rails for something I had absolutely no idea what I was talking about. Pretty cool.
Yeah. But again, I think it's a fun exercise because, you know, for the people that actually like the draft and are listening to this, like, this is what your friends are going to sound like, but probably, like, less, like...
Your friends are going to sound like idiots, and like, they might not even have the intel on Jairus that I have.
Right, like they might sound worse. So, you know, we're early because the draft isn't for another 6 months, so you have some time before your friends are idiots in the group chat and annoying you, but, you know, this is what it sounds like.
Let me sign off one more time, ready? I hope all your friends are dumber than me. I'm Joe Rogoski. Thank you for having me.
And I'm Corey Talbot. You can find me at NoCeilingsNBA.com. I wrote about Marcus Sasser, Jairus Walker's teammate, this week, and chopped up clips of him doing really fun things on a basketball court and NBA players doing really fun things on a basketball court. And kind of compared him to guys like Tyrese Maxey and Jordan Poole and guys like that. So go read that. Again, it's free. You just subscribe and then it's free. And you can rate and review this podcast. We have deep dives coming on tomorrow with Nick Agar Johnson, which I will be on talking about this Marcus Sasser piece that I wrote. So listen to that as well. And then we have the Tylers on Thursday and Friday. And that's it.
Done again. Congratulations.
We'll see you guys next time.